VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us for a very special program on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. If you feel that you're living in the most turbulent period of your lifetime, you're not alone. Today, there are forces that are at work to strip the very principles and the precepts of the Christian faith from public venues and minimize their significance. But even though these times have been tough and seem frightening, there is hope, friends. Troubled times give us an opportunity to know Christ more fully, to make him known to people around us. And that's an excerpt from the book, Hope for This Present Crisis. The book's author is with us today, Dr. Michael Youssef, who is founder and president of Leading the Way. His program's heard on multiple stations across this nation. He's founding pastor of the Church of the Apostles based in Atlanta. He has authored numerous books, including one we're discussing today, Hope for This Present Crisis, The Seven-Step Path to Restoring a World Gone Mad. Dr. Youssef, thank you for joining us.
Jimmy, very, very gracious to have me on your program. Thank you so much.
Well, over the past 12 months, it seems, as you know, we've experienced one crisis after another. There's COVID-19, the economic shutdown of the world, basically, civil unrest, riots, fires, looting, destruction of any visible sign of our nation's heritage, and it doesn't end there. And you, in the midst of all this, wrote this book, Hope for This Present Crisis, but you indicate that even with all of these things that we've experienced as a nation, that there's a greater crisis confronting our civilization today, and your book is really a warning of this destruction yet to come. These crises, Dr. Youssef, have been so traumatic for us. What are you warning us of?
Well, I think the beginning of all of that is that the crisis is a crisis of truth. And once the truth is being undermined or changed or modified or explain the way it is your truth, my truth, his truth, her truth, everybody has their own truth, then in reality there is no basis for humanity to even operate in relationships. And that is the foundational breakdown of what is happening today. All the other things that we're seeing that you had just mentioned, Jim, these are the symptoms, but the primary devastation that has taken place has been taking place really for a long time. It just, we are now aware of it because the tree blossomed and now we're seeing the fruit. But the roots and the fruit and the tree has been growing for a long, long time, ever since the 60s and even maybe before that. And so that's what the problem is. It's the truth. I was just reading about the interview with Meghan, the wife of Prince Harry.
Oh yes.
And I just happen to know wonderful people in the royal family and in England around the circle of this wonderful godly woman, the Queen, who's absolutely loves Jesus and guide and leads with wisdom and godly wisdom and biblical wisdom. I just happen to know the other side. But if you read that, you know, so-called her truth, it's totally divorced from reality. And so, how many people would know what I know? And so this is really this victim's mentality or that's showing itself in woke culture and cancel culture and critical race theory and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is really the fruit that we are gaining now from what has began to happen in the 60s, trust your feelings, and truth, particularly objective truth. And that's what they are at war with, the objective truth, the biblical truth, the reality, the fact that we are all sinners and desperately need the Savior, and without him we're lost, and that he came to save us from our sin and eternal destruction. All of that is now they are at war with, and they want to destroy. And as the psalmist said, If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Indeed. And, you know, as you describe this, and in your book here, this present crisis, you also address with this crisis of the truth. At the same time, there's the decline of the influence of the Christian church. Give us an overview. What does that decline of the church look like?
Well, the problem is this crisis of the truth. I'm sorry to say this, but I've been a pastor for nearly 50 years, and I put the full blame on us in the pulpits, because that's where the truth began to be undermined. And instead of us being a guide to a lost culture, we are now following the lost culture. We want to be popular. We want to be liked. We have this celebrity mentality. We want people to like us. But in reality, we are creating enmity with God because by having friendship with the world. And so it all started in the pulpit. It's all started in the churches. We began to be seeker-friendly in the sense with the Bible kind of, you know, well, if it doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it as long as you still like me as a pastor. Hmm. Well, we're going to have audience of one, every one of us. I hope there's so many young pastors who are listening to us now, Jim. I really do. I pray that many young pastors who are listening to us, that they will take a warning that this is a road that's going to lead to destruction. It's a wide road that's going to lead to destruction. We need to go back on the narrow road, because as goes the pulpit, so goes the pew, and as goes the pew, so goes the culture. And so you put your finger on it that the church, and I'm talking about, you know, just generally,
right,
is the culprit.
Yeah.
I thank God for the many faithful pastors out there who
Amen.
Are really preaching the word. I know I don't have an Elijah syndrome that I'm alone, but I know there's so many wonderful pastors, and I just pray for those who may be teetering around, you know, whether they're going to go to this progressive Christianity, which is no Christianity at all, that they will come back to the truth and anchor their faith in Jesus, because one day they're going to face him face to face, and rather than hear him, well done, good and faithful servant, they're going to hear, well, what have you done? I don't know you. And so this is dangerous time. This is a very serious time. And I am pleading, this is my old age, I'm pleading that it is time now to get back to the truth. And once the truth began to be established in many a church, we're going to see a change. We're going to see an awakening. We're going to see, that's a hope that I talk about in the seven steps that I mentioned in the end of the book, Hope for This Present Crisis.
Dr. Michael Youssef, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and you indicate that this post-Christian, post-truth world tells us we should connect with other belief systems. That's what the world is telling us. We need to embrace them. And as you know, Doctor, there's a whole lot of interfaith dialogue that's going on, and the plea goes forth, we need to have religious unity. But this should really alarm us, should it not?
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes, and I'm not talking about figure of speech. I mean, literally, I would weep hot tears when I see a pastor without your way, or in Canada, or some whatever, and they said they're inviting the local imam to come and preach the sermon once a month, and that we are dialogue partners. What has darkness got to do with light?
Yes.
What has Satan got to do with Christ? That is absolute fallacy. Literally, these people who have given their lifeblood to build these churches and these institutions, they're spinning in their graves when they see this Chrislam, for example, where they want to merge Islam with Christianity. They have nothing in common. And that is why it is today the day that I am pleading and calling that it is time to wake up and realize what is happening, that Satan has deceived us and he is continuing to lead us down this road that is going to lead to destruction. And the problem with us who are in the pulpits, those of us who have been preachers of the Word of God, and we'll be, you know, it's that we're going to be judged much more severely.
And I saw in your book here, and you mentioned Chrislam here, Dr. Youssef, and you write in your book, here's a sentence here, one Muslim scholar told me, you write, Islam spread throughout the Middle East and North Africa by the sword, but Western culture will be handed to us on a platter. That's a shocking statement.
It is, but it's, you know what? He was just telling me the truth, because, I mean, that's not only that he believes that, but he showed me exactly how. Back in the early 80s when I did my PhD at Emory University, that was the field of my study, sociology, and I went and interviewed some of the Islamist scholars. Now, of course, they're wonderful Muslim people who basically, you know, just keep the tenets of their religion. They're not interested in conquering the world and anything like this. Mm-hmm. I know that. And I long for them to come to Christ. I have a television station, 24/7, Kingdom Sat, 200 million homes in the Arab world, and I dedicate hours. I don't sleep very much at night. So I'm waking every waking hour, taking the gospel to my Muslim friends so they come to know and love Jesus and be forgiven. So I am not a casting spreadsheet. I am doing everything possible for them to come to know Christ. But the Islamists, and that's the distinction between Muslims and Islamists, the Islamists are the people who are strategizing in order how to conquer the West. This is all written about. Names I can mention, but people won't recognize them, have written about this. And they said, look, population growth in Europe, Muslim population growth, where they produce 5 to 8 children, and the French, for example, are producing less than 1.2% 1.2 children. And they said, look, it's just a matter of mathematics. Before our numbers are going to be so on the increase and our influence that we're going to take over Europe. It's going to be handed to us on a platter. And it's, we're not going to have to use the sword. We don't have to conquer. We don't have to fight. We'll just be there for the fruit to fall in. And look at the spiritual vacuum in Europe and elsewhere in Canada and in Australia and United Kingdom. I mean, it just and beginning here now. And with that spiritual vacuum, this particular scholar said to me, he said, we are the ones who are going to come and fill that vacuum because you have turned your back on your Christianity.
Wow. Wow. Dr. Yusuf, and you write about this declining birth rate. Matter of fact, in your book, you call it a disastrous decline in Western nations. But why are some pastors, some churches, some denominations so willing to water down the gospel, to give up this ground? Are they not aware that there are those who are ready to swoop in and seize the territory that they're willing to give up?
Well, this is the problem. Idolatry, and if you study idolatry closely in the scripture, it is a very powerful thing. It's insidious. And if the idolatry, and I'm not talking about getting a statue and putting it up on a platform and bowing to it, the idolatry of wanting to be like and accepted by the culture at large or by the enemies of the cross. So when some group of Muslims in a U.S. Town, and I mentioned, complained about the cross. They're looking there and see the cross of that church. Said, "Oh, we don't want to offend you." So they removed the cross, and this is what we want to be like. Mm-hmm. They think that this is just being relevant, and that they're trying to reach out. No. You don't reach out by selling out the truth. You reach out by embracing the truth and by upholding the truth.
Amen. Dr. Michael Yusuf with us, and folks, we're giving up this ground to our own demise. Dr. Yusuf is giving a wake-up call today, and yes, we're going to talk a little bit further about how big a mess we're in, but there is hope. Hope for this present crisis. We'll be getting into that as well. Dr. Michael Yusuf is our guest on Crosstalk, back in a minute here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution enter into the abortion debate?
It certainly does, Chris. In fact, evolution has long been used as the justification for abortion. Even today in abortion clinics, young pregnant girls are told about an evolutionary concept called embryonic recapitulation, in which the fetus, as it grows in the mother's womb, remembers its evolutionary ancestry. And at one point, it's just a fish. And it's okay to kill a fish, so you can abort in those months. What's the harm? In such a way, many are deceived into murdering their unborn children. But the fetus is a person. Humans were created in the image of God. The human fetus is just not finished growing yet, but it's human in every sense, both scientifically and biblically. So you see, Chris, even modern societal issues go back to Genesis for more understanding.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Hope for this present crisis. Our topic today, Dr. Michael Youssef is our guest from Leading the Way and has put forth just a most powerful book. Folks, it's just been released. And I want to make mention of this book, Hope for the Present Crisis. Once you start reading it, it's hard to put down. There is so much information. It's, first of all, it's rather convicting as to how we got to this point that we are in this life in our nation. I mean, he talks about people who have many gods and we no longer acknowledge the God of the Bible. He talks about us as a nation devaluing the family and human life, the countless abortions, fewer marriages, the declining birth rate, the addictions and suicide and crime. So epidemic in our society today, but also tells us presents some hope for us as well, how we can get on the other side of this. I would like to mention that his book just came out but days ago. It is one of the featured books of the month at our VCY bookstore. They have worked with the publisher to have a special arrangement for this book today. And through this month of March 31st, this is good for this month only, they are offering this book at 48% off the regular price. This is a hardcover book. Its retail is $24.99 plus any applicable tax and shipping. However, this month, our bookstore is offering this at 48% off. That's $12.99 plus any applicable tax and shipping. You can find it right now at vcy.com, or call 1-888-722-4829, 888-722-4829. And Dr. Youssef, this book is really a wake-up call, is it not?
It really is, and I pray that God would use it in a way. Yesterday in my sermon, I said, I was talking about cancel culture and woke and all this, and I said, somebody asked me if our church is a woke church. I said, absolutely we are a woke church. We've been praying for 35 years for a Holy Spirit awakening. We're awake.
You want to be awoke, yes.
Woke, we're awake. We're praying for that awakening, and I tell you, it is my prayer that that this book somehow... And you know, your listeners might not be interested, but I think just as an aside, I don't own these books. I don't receive any compensation from Leading the Way Ministry, not even the red cent. And the books all belong to Leading the Way. They don't belong to me because, for a simple reason, that 32 years ago when we started Leading the Way, I wanted nobody to say, well, he started that media ministry to enrich himself. So I made a decision. I'm going to live on the church salary, and I'm never going to take a nickel from anywhere else. And God has blessed us and taken care of us. And so what I'm saying is, it is my prayer and our prayer that God would use that little book somehow to bring an awakening that we have prayed for 35 years. As simple as that.
And folks, it packs a powerful punch because it hits you right between the eyes as to where we are and how to get back on track. Matter of fact, you expose something in your book that you call progressive Christians, and you get into a number of issues. But can you flesh out that for our listeners today, some of those philosophies that are presented in what you call progressive Christians?
I just saw a testimony of a young writer, and I'll give it to you in that way so I can really illustrate what I'm saying. And she grew up a Christian, a Christian. She's a good writer. She's a good personality. She's a singer. She is well-known in Nashville and so forth. And she said it was a pastor who challenged her that Christianity cannot stand for intellectual rigor. So she became progressive Christian because that pastor was a progressive Christian. Now, progressive is really what it is. It's regressive. It's good to call it progressive, but in reality, it's an apostasy. It's turning their back on the gospel. It's turning their back on the truth of the Word of God. Because being progressive says, well, now, did Jesus really mean I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, or am a way, a truth, and a life? God is so big that he has so many ways, not only just one way. And I'm giving you these statistics from George Barna. He said that 60% of so-called young evangelicals believe there are many ways to God, which means they call themselves Christians, but they worship a God who's a liar. That means Jesus lied when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Now, that is absolute travesty in so-called progressive evangelical churches, that they're denying by the very words they use and the very belief they express the Word of God itself and Christianity. I used to belong to a mainline denomination. I left 31 years ago. And I remember speaking in clergy conferences, and I would say to them, I said, look, if you want to throw, if you doubt the virgin birth, because that's so-called progressive, started in the mainline, and now in the evangelical church, you deny the virgin birth, you deny the divinity of Christ, you doubt the resurrection, and you go on and on and on. I said, why don't you go and start a new church, a new religion, really, not a church, a new religion. Leave Christianity. They said, no, but we want to help the people who are in the church to get out with us. And see, the devil loves company.
Yeah.
And so many of them are there misleading people all the way into hell. So that's what progressive, it's regressive, leading people to the time of pre-Christ. They are B.C. people, not A.D. people, because they're living before Christ.
Do you believe social justice has gotten in the way of biblical truth?
Oh, no question about it. See, there is biblical social justice, and it's in 1 Timothy 6. It says, command the rich of this world not to be deceived by riches, but to give it away, to share it with others who are in need. That is really the biblical view. And Jesus spoke about money and the use of money and how to be generous with your blessings that God give you. More than any other single subject. So there is a biblical command for us to share with those who are in need. But for them to come and take from people by force and then to give it to others who might never can work but they refuse to work, that is evil. I lived under that evil society in Egypt. You see, Egypt used to be, most people don't know this, but Egypt used to be the breadbasket of Africa in the 40s and the 30s. It was a British protectorate, but it was a prosperous country. And comes Mr. Nasser, the revolutionary, and a group of officers in 1952, and they turned it into a socialist country. They took all the companies and the land and everything else, and what happened when socialism takes hold, that social justice, as they call it, it basically makes everybody poor. And that's exactly what they did. And you look at Venezuela, you look at Cuba, you look at any country. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody with minimal intelligence would look and say, no, wait a minute. This so-called social justice has never worked anywhere else. But if you appeal to people and to the fact that God said, blessed are those who are taking care of the poor and helping the needy and proclaiming the gospel, those who give sacrificially out of their purse, that God blesses that kind of a culture. And he did for 200 years in America. The reason America has been blessed of God out of our socks, really, is because we have taken the gospel to the ends of the earth. Hospitals, schools that are built. I traveled the world. I've been around the world 64 times. Hospitals, schools. The YMCA, when it started as a movement, it was an evangelistic movement. And the buildings that were built in Korea and in Egypt and elsewhere, they were for evangelistic purposes. So for 200 years, Americans have taken the gospel to the end of the earth. Americans have taking care of the poor, provided for the needy, not just in their country but elsewhere. And God blessed America. Yeah. But now, with this cry for social justice, where they want the government to take it from people by force, that blessing is going to go out the window. And that's why I wrote the book. I don't want this to happen.
Right.
I want America to continue to be blessed of God.
And one of the ways you have as one of the solutions is the need to revitalize the home, the family. And you make a very interesting statement. You write this. You said, God did not merely design the Christian family as a shield to protect children from worldly influences. He created the Christian family as a beachhead, an invasion force with the mission of retaking satanically occupied society for the kingdom of God. Could you explain that?
Exactly. You see, a Christian family is supposed to be a lighthouse. A lighthouse leads people who live in darkness to discover the light of Christ. If every home realizes that this is, and that's why Psalm 127 and 128, Psalm 127 talks about children as arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. They are to be out there basically doing great things and great exploits for God, that we are to be a beachhead into Satan's territory to convert and bring the lost to come to Christ. And then in 128, it talks about being olive shoots. Now, the olive shoots go for 20 generations. If the olive tree is set properly, and this is what the Bible said about our children, that if it sits in the soil, even if it's craggy soil, especially if it's craggy soil, but if it's set right, it begins to produce fruit. Takes time, 15 years or so, but when it does, it goes for 20 generations. And that's what we need to be thinking of, families that will continue to the next 20 generations, not just what's going to happen today, tomorrow, or what the schools they go to and so on, but we need to see family as a force for God. And be used mightily by God to indeed conquer satanic territory and convert the lost and encourage the saints. You see, and that is why in that very area you talk about is that that we've got to see our children first of all be protected from the horrors of the internet.
Yes.
And then basically check out on who their friends are and pray for your children. Pray with your children. And guide them and lead them, help them to memorize Scripture. I remember when my kids were young. Now we got 11 grandchildren. But when my kids were at school, and I would drive them to school, and we do Scripture memorization on the way. And to be, I'm confessing publicly, I used to bribe them. Hey, by the end of the week, if you memorize this, I'll give you $1.
Wow.
And it was a lot of money back then.
Sure.
But nonetheless, to this day, they're in their 40s, and they can remember those scripture memorization and just make sure that God is at the center of the family. And it doesn't matter what the world says, as we galvanize them, they'll be able to stand up no matter how much the pressure may be. They will be strong. And that's where we literally, once we affirm the truth, then we need to focus on the families, because the families are very, very important. Very important.
Indeed they are. And friends, we're going to be taking a quick break here again. Dr. Michael Youssef is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and he's got this seven-step plan. You'll find it in his book. I am going to point out one of the aspects, though, after the break here about the need to revive the church, and certainly we need to see that take place today. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back to that issue here with Dr. Michael Youssef. A reminder, if you'd like to obtain this at 48% off through the end of this month, it's available at vcy.com, or you may call 1-888-722-4829. That connects you with our VCY bookstore. They're featuring this book all this month of March to try and get it in your hands. The writings are very critical, and certainly we need to be awakened to where we are and how do we get back on course. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Dr. Michael Youssef. He has authored the newly released book, Hope for This Present Crisis. A very powerful book. It's truthful. As I said, it hits you right between the eyes because it's not one that is going to sugarcoat where we are in this world today. You're not going to have this warm, fuzzy feeling. No, I think it's going to build in you a determination in my heart that, like, to have that, you know, that conviction, here I stand, I will do no other. You know, as for me and my house will serve the Lord, we heard Joshua proclaim as well. And to draw that red line, so to speak, and to take a stand. You address the problems gone wrong in the church, too, and you lie, you know, blame at the foot of the church, so to speak, and believers who make that up. But your final chapter is entitled Revive the Church. Dr. Youssef, how do we get the church off of life support to again thrive as it once did?
Well, the only thing that has the power to do that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the self-help stuff, and I'm going to help you how to get along with your wife and how to get along with your kids and how to get along with that, that's all fades away the moment the sermon finished and it's forgotten the next day because they have no power. Look, it's your best life now. I mean, we become so secular in our gospel preaching that we only preach a secular gospel. Our best life is not now. It's going to be heaven. And that's what we need to be preparing people to realize, that faithfulness will have its own reward in heaven. And so we've got to present, and I am not one of those people who say, yep, beat people on the head and say, repent and turn to the Lord and turn or burn. I am saying that we must speak the truth in love. And I have no doubt that everybody understands that. And Paul gives us that formula. Speaking the truth in love is a very delicate formula. Being able to speak the truth, but then doing it lovingly. And we don't have to do it in anger or frustration. People always say, well, you evangelicals are always angry. Well, I'm not one. I'm not angry at all. I'm always smiling. Even when people attack me, I say, I'm smiling. And so we need to, first of all, realize that what Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The moment we make our marketing strategy to be the power, or to think that our program has the power, or this or that has the power, then we might fill the room, the auditorium, with people, but there was no power in it. Mass people gathering big numbers, that's not power. The power will take place of transformed lives is when the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power that is the only thing that has the power in salvation, began to be preached in its purity. And for the young pastors who are afraid that I might lose some, people are going to leave if I start preaching the gospel, and I want to tell you something. God promised, I honor those who honor me, says the Lord. So don't be afraid what Satan tried to scare you and the world tried to scare you in thinking that if I begin to preach the gospel, I'm going to lose members. But you know what? If you lose a member, God will give you two. And I've seen it in my own life in this church. I started with 28 adults and in a hotel room. I mean, that's where we started. But I made the decision early on under the power of God that I will preach the uncompromised truth. I have some pastors, seeker-friendly pastors, who come and visited here, and they said, you know, one of them said to me, and well-known, he said, in-your-face preaching, that's what he was calling my preaching, in-your-face preaching, it's not going to build a mega church. Well, I look back now, I got a mega church. I'm not necessarily sought, I didn't seek it, but we got it. Why? Because God said, I will honor my word, and I will give it increase. And once you trust that, you discover that it's got depth, it's got strength. The people who walk here, they know what they're getting into. No fine prints, no small prints. Who we are, what we are, and we spill it out up front. And sometimes tell people not to join the church. I said, look, if you are looking for a soft message of name it or claim it and prosperity gospel, if you're looking for a message that's going to make you feel good and not cause you to repent and turn to the Lord, you see, repentance is not just for sinners. Repentance is for believers. We have forgotten that we must live the life, a repentant lifestyle. And certainly those of us in the pulpit, and you know, without repenting of my sins, I can't even preach. And so we correct us. I let my children see that when I made an error, when I made a mistake, when I sinned against one of them, I would go and sometimes even wake them up at night. I said, please forgive me. I have sinned against you. I am sorry. And so my children saw a man that's in the pulpit as he is at home, and I didn't even realize that until one of the eldest said that on a video. And that's where it's got to start. You preach the gospel with the power of Christ, not your own power, not your marketing strategy, not your clever techniques, not even advertising, but it's in the power of Christ. All the other things will fall in place. And then remember that, you know, I have something here called the Ten Commandments for the pastoral staff, and it goes from tithing to not being in the car with somebody of the opposite sex who's not your wife, and I've been doing this for 34 years now. Hmm. You don't have the door shut if you have somebody of the opposite, and it goes on and on and on. And somebody says, well, you don't trust your pastors. I said, no, I don't trust me.
Wow. Dr. Yusuf, and by the way, listeners, let me open the phone lines here, 800-733-9829. If you have a question you'd like to ask of our guest today or a brief statement, 800-733-9829. I'd like to ask you a multi-pronged question here, and that is hope gone for our nation? Is it time for us to panic? And I ask that because you indicate in your book, this is not a time for fear, but a time for faith. Do you believe the ship can be righted? Do you see the church stepping up to the plate here?
What give me hope is what I see throughout the Scripture, and I see throughout history, that when the people of God got to the point of desperation and cried to God in repentance and faith, God heard them from heaven, and He responded, and He restored them, and He gave them victory. That is the only thing I know. It's not because I have an insight into what can happen or will happen. No, I really believe the Word of God is so clear that when we get right with God, I'm talking about the believers now. I'm not talking to people outside, the pagans and the atheists and the agnostics. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. When we get right with God, when we repent of our sins, when we come clean with God, when we allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to purge us and to purify us like gold, I believe with all my heart that we can right that ship. Not we, but God through us. But he's looking for repentant people. He's not looking for clever people, articulate people, good orators. He is looking for repentant people, and that's where we need to start. And to answer your question, Jim, yes, I really believe that will happen because that is the pattern that God has given us in the Scripture, and therefore we can trust Him to do it again.
Folks, the book is Hope for This Present Crisis. Again, this month of March, our bookstore is offering it at 48% off the regular price. You can get it at vcy.com or calling 1-888-722-4829. So they've got it reduced to $12.99 plus any applicable tax and or shipping. 1-888-722-4829. Let's take our first call from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Wayne, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air with Dr. Yusuf.
Dr. Yusuf. A sermon you preached once on Jeremiah 29 talked about the individual plans, God's plan for the individual, but also for the city. And you talked about Jeremiah 29:7, about seeking the peace of the city. My wife and I are dedicated to revival in the city we live in. Could you comment on that further?
You have an amazing, phenomenal memory. Thank you so much. And I love Chattanooga because Pastor Hayden of Chattanooga walked into my office and handed me his television ministry. I wouldn't be on television if it wasn't for Ben Hayden from Chattanooga.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that question. Yes, this was a message by Jeremiah, from the Lord to Jeremiah, to those who have been taken into exile. And we are in exile right now. We really are. And he said, look, he said, don't just be sitting there mourning and moping. He said, you get involved where you are, plant, build, and seek the peace of the city in which you find yourself. And that's exactly the message of this book, is that, you know, hope for this planet. I'm saying, while we are seeing things, are dreadful things, and collapsing around our ears, we need to seek the peace of the city, and this is to pray for our nation, and that is to intercede. But it has to begin with us, ourselves, individually, and as a Church of Jesus Christ, repentant and trusting in God, believing, upholding, holding onto His promises, and in faith that we will see God do that. Yeah, exactly right. Yes, that's exactly the message I preached several years ago.
Thank you, Wayne, for the call. Let's go next to Kentucky. We have Frank calling in. Frank, you're on the air.
Hello, sirs. I would like to ask your guest about the faith once for all delivered to the saints, which Apostle Jude talked about.
Yes.
There's a major schism, really, that's going on in Christianity, and it's those who follow the Hebrew-Jewish Sabbath-keeping group of Christians, and also groups within that group that keep also the biblical high day Sabbath days, which Christ also kept and which are referred to in the New Testament. Not only the Old Testament where they're established, but the New Testament, which Christ and his apostles kept.
Okay, so Frank, your specific question is?
Yes. Okay, what about the difference between the Sabbath-keeping churches and the Sunday-keeping churches, which emanated from the Emperor Constantine?
Okay, thank you. Dr.
Sure,
Yusuf.
Frank. Thank you, Frank. I know you're talking probably about our Seventh-day Adventist friends, and I understand that. And you know what? This is not even an issue. They can do whatever. They can keep Saturday or Sunday. The reason the church went to Sunday, because it was the first day of the week that our Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And then it was the first day of the week, it was a Sunday, when he reappeared to Thomas. And on the first day of the week, they began to gather and they began to worship. And that did not start with Constantine. That started with the apostles. In fact, you see Paul writing to the Ephesians, to the Corinthians, and he said, you know, on the first day of the week when you gather together, talking about the collection, in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, he said, on the first day of the week, as you gather together and you worship God, you know, you take the collection. And so that was a practice that started by the apostles. But you know what? It's not a hill I want to die on. What I want to die on is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
That's really what's important. You can argue about all kinds of little festivals and feasts and holy days. And so Paul said, don't get sidetracked by all that. Get back to the gospel, that and the fact that people without Jesus are going to hell. That's really what matters.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We'll take some more calls following the break. Dr. Michael Yusuf, our guest today, hope for this present crisis, a path to restoring a world gone mad. And folks, it's getting back into the Word of God, and not only getting back into the Word, remembering the truth, but certainly restoring our soul in that as well. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was listening to a medical doctor being interviewed about the COVID vaccination. And this person interviewing this medical doctor said plainly, I'm not a Christian. But the medical doctor was very obvious. And the medical doctor began to talk about how when you have to get a card or a mark or some kind of certification to buy something, to go into a store, to get on an airplane, that it's setting up the mark of the beast. Well, the person that was interviewing her, again, she said she's not a Christian. But here's what she said that stunned me. She said, why is it I'm having to tell the Christians not to be a part of this? Why am I having to tell the Christians, as a non-Christian, tell the Christians this is setting up the mark of the beast? Why are Christians doing this? You know what the Bible says, Christians? Come out and have nothing to do with this. It's sad when the unsaved world knows we're not doing our job.
Dr. Michael Youssef is our guest here today on Crosstalk. I wish we had him for a few hours to talk for. There's so many principles in this book to talk about and comments on the issues that we're facing. Friends, the problem lies within, and he addresses this in his book, Hope for This Present Crisis. A reminder, it's available at 48% off this month of March at vcy.com or calling our bookstore 1-888-722-4829. Anna's calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Anne, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, I haven't heard your opinion about how this ties into the end times, because for me, it's bittersweet. I mean, I think all this has to happen according to Revelation, and yet, you know, my mission, personal mission statement is, you know, to live as Christ, to die as gain. But how do you navigate these waters?
Okay, thank you.
Great question, Anne. I tell you, I live every day, and literally, as my family would testify, every day I say to the Lord, if it is today, I'm ready. I have my spiritual bags packed, and I really mean that. So I am living in the return of the Lord could be any moment, any day, any time, and I'm prepared. And I think every believer should be like that, should have the oil in your lamp and lit and ready to go when the bridegroom we go. But as long as he tarries, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Now, there's some people end up putting white robes and head for the mountains waiting for Jesus. Well, that's not what he said. Occupy is a word meaning get busy working, serving, giving, doing all this, and then when he comes, I'm ready to go. And so I am one of those people who anticipate the return of the Lord every single moment of every day, but that motivates me to try to take as many people to heaven with me as possible.
Amen. Thank you, Ann, for the call. Let's go to Dave in Mora, Minnesota. You're on the air, Dave.
Yes, hello, and thank you. I praise the Lord for both you, Jim, and Dr. Youssef, and your ministries. My concern is that as a Christian, we not only are facing opposition from the other major religions of the world, but Christianity itself has so many definitions and belief systems within it that are just vastly different one from the other. I mean, just recently the Pope was, you know, with the imams and consorting with Islam. Would you please comment on that and how we overcome the troubles within our own under the banner of Christianity?
Thank you, Dave.
Sure. Thank you so much, Dave. Well, you know, again, the term Christianity is unfortunately have been stretched and pulled and modified, and there's so many people even within so-called the evangelical church who want to create a Jesus in their own image, a Jesus who accepts everything they do, a Jesus who basically sits in heaven, smiles, and, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. No, he did not come from heaven to tell us it doesn't matter how you live. No, he came from heaven to say, this is the way you live, this is the way you focus on me, and if whole denominations basically get lost, that's fine, that's between them and God. I think if every individual, and that's who I focus on, a church and I used to belong to a denomination, and I saw the horrors of the stuff that goes on in denominations. And so I am not against denominations, but I think in the end, God is not going to ask me what denomination did I belong to, did I listen to, you know, my leaders. No, he's going to say to me, what have you done with Jesus?
Amen.
That's really what will matter. And so the elect are going to be very, very small. I mean, a lot of people can call themselves anything they want to call themselves. They can call themselves Christians or Calathumpians, but in the end, it's what I do for Christ and in Christ's name.
Thank you, Dave. We have Laura in South Dakota. You're on the air.
Yeah, with all due respect, Jim, thank you for taking my call. I'm going to quote an article by Alex Newman in regards to your guest's assessment and assertion defending the Queen as a believer and a Christ follower. She's a Roman Catholic. Now, I'm not defending by no means Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, you know, that he referenced at the beginning of the program.
Okay, let me have him address that because we're low on time.
Well, I was talking about the victim's mentality, and that's really what I was talking about.
Great.
I mean, people with wealth, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they're making themselves to be victims. That's really what I was saying. But I said, you know, as an aside, I happen to know that she reads the Bible every day and prays and seek the Lord. So that's all I was saying.
Thank you, Laura. Holly in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. Beautiful message today, top to bottom. It really speaks to my heart. Which is why I'm calling. Like the first caller, I'm seeking revival in my community, and our church has actually gotten together with other churches in the area with that common goal in mind to bring glory to God and bring that back to our community. I'm concerned, though, about those things that people get focused on amongst the denominations, maybe that creating division in the future. Is there any advice that you could give to people like me of these congregations and to our spiritual leaders, what they can do to kind of...
We've got a minute here, Dr. Yusuf.
Sure, absolutely. As long as you are united in Christ, I have, for the last 30-plus years, an accountability group. That is a Baptist pastor, a Presbyterian pastor, and myself as an Anglican. And the three of us come from different denominations, but we met together on a regular basis to hold each other accountable, to pray for one another, to pray for each other's congregation, because regardless of our denominational background, all of our focus, every one of us, three of us, is Jesus. And that is really ought to be the uniting factor.
Thank you for the call. Dr. Yusuf, we've run out of time for additional calls, but we've got a minute left here. What is your hope for this book, Hope for This Present Crisis? What are you seeking to accomplish?
Well, it is my prayer, and of course, you know, I'm only an instrument. I'm a cog in that wheel, and I just want God to use me, even though inadequate as I am. And when you think that only a few years ago I could not put two sentences together in English, so I am the least of the servants of God. But if I have a longing in my heart, is that that book will ignite the believer's first love, that they will go back to their first love, that they will go back to the love for Jesus and the love for the gospel, and they become not only fall in love with Jesus all over again, but they make him known to those who need to hear him.
Amen. Well, Dr. Yusuf, thank you for carving an hour out of your time to join our listeners here today.
Pleasure.
Folks, again, this book, Hope for This Present Crisis, available at our VCY bookstore, one of the featured books of the month. It's powerful, it's convicting, and certainly guides us here to the right path as well. You can contact the bookstore, vcy.com, or by calling 1-888-722-4829.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.